With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
From border to border, across the Commonwealth of Kentucky, this is Big Blue Insider. Talk to Dick Gabriel. Call 859-280-CATS. That's 859-280-2287. Or statewide at 1-800-606-GAME. That's 1-800-606-4263. Or you can tweet the show at Big Blue Insider 1. Now, here's Dick Gabriel.
Well, we think we're on. Welcome to the statewide edition of the Big Blue Insider. Kind of working our way into it. We're hopscotching across the building now, studio to studio. Dick Gabriel with you, joined by Hunter Shelton and Aaron Gershom. Billy has the night off, and when we come back, we'll talk Kentucky football and basketball right here on the statewide edition of the BBI.
Shamrock Bar and Grill on Heartland Parkway has always been your home for good food, great times, cold beer, and the biggest games on TV. But did you know you can bring that world-famous Shamrock atmosphere to your home? Shamrock's is now delivering food, growlers, and six-packs to your door. Find our full menu at shamrocksky.com or call their Heartland Parkway location at 245-9504. Call them up tonight for delivery. You can also have Shamrock's food delivered by Uber Eats.
The Livesey Group is a family-owned CPA firm conveniently located on Pasadena Drive near Nicholasville Road in Lexington. They can help with tax preparation for individuals, businesses, trusts and estates, small business accounting support, including full-service payroll, and outsourced bookkeeping services. All the Livesey Group services include free initial consultation and quotes. Bob and Bobby Livesey are native Lexingtonians. They are Big Blue fans and ready to serve you. The Livesey Group, your one-stop shop for accounting needs. Call 296-1913 or visit Livesey. Group.com.
Hey guys, game's on!
Whether you're cheering on the Wildcats from the stands or from your den,
go Cats!
Dude, you spilled the nachos.
Kentucky Utilities is there with you, delivering safe and reliable energy you can count on. But power isn't the only thing we provide. With KU, you can take advantage of convenient, time-saving services like our online outage map, paperless billing, and auto pay. So while the Cats' energies go to serving up wins, at KU, our energies go to serving you.
Have you been dreaming of upgrading your home environment? Maybe a larger TV? A sound system so real you feel you're at the game? Music that plays throughout every room in your house, including the patio? Lighting you control with the touch of a button? This is Barney Miller, and our team of technology experts customizes technology solutions for Kentucky homeowners. Stop by our showroom downtown or visit BarneyMillers.com for more inspiration. At Barney Miller's, if you can dream it, we can design it.
A lot has changed in our 35 years at the Boots store, but what hasn't changed is our commitment to having a huge selection of quality name brand boots, Western wear, and accessories. And as always, we strive to give you the best fit possible at a fair, competitive price. Whether you need boots for a day on the job or a night on the town, do your feet a favor and come and see us at the Boots store. We're just a few minutes south of Fayette Mall on Nicholasville Road.
Get your boots at the Boots store.
When is the last time you took a good look at your house? Actually walked all the way around and looked at the exterior? Mold, dust, weather can drastically change the way your home looks and cause damage. Hydrosphere Services is the first and only call you need to make. Hydrosphere Services are the experts in pressure and power washing, plus they are certified, insured, and trained to give you the best-in-class cleaning services. If you are a home or a business owner, make the call now to Hydrosphere Services, 219-2200. That's 219-2200, or visit hydrosphereservices.com.
Border to border, it is the Big Blue Insider, Dick Gabriel with Aaron Gershon, Hunter Shelton. These two gentlemen are running on fumes right now.
Yes.
They were in Nashville last night, and I've told you I've made that trip many times. It's not that long a drive, but it sure is. What time did you guys leave the arena?
probably 12:30 Central.
So 1:30 Eastern.
Yeah, I stayed at the Holiday Inn right on campus, so I shot out, did my work at the hotel, so I was back at the
hotel.
Oh,
you stayed in Nashville too, Hunter, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so
but still.
I was out of the arena probably by 10. I'm trying to think. It would have been the game would have ended at 10:30. I was probably out by like 11:30 Eastern.
It was a quick game.
It was a very quick game, thank God.
That's very true. Well, what did UK shoot? Two free throws?
Two.
Two.
It was Oscar took two.
Two each. Vandy
so they only went
50%
of the line, but they only took two. So that's all right.
Well, and you know, I saw the free throw stats were really weird, but Vandy is not a physical team, obviously, and could not afford to get into foul trouble.
No.
And Kentucky was able to guard without getting into foul trouble, right?
Absolutely, for the most part. I mean, they did a really good job early, I think. Quickly, Oscar picked one up in Toppin, and you were like, uh-oh, here we go again. But no, both those guys did a good job staying out of foul trouble. Obviously, Vanderbilt being out without Liam Robbins really hurt them in the front court. But really, I was more impressed with the back court yesterday. I mean, the way Antonio keeps playing, keeps shooting the ball. Sevier came in and brought a lot of energy off the bench, and Kaysen kind of fed off that and did a great job when he came back in, and CJ was hot a little bit. So I was just as impressed with the backcourt last night, and the front court just did their job.
Tell me and tell our audience what you were saying to me before we went on the air about how the team appeared to you prior to the game and shoot around.
Really good energy. I mean, they were smiling, they were laughing, they were, you know, Oscar's shoving guys around for fun. I mean, they were really into it. And, you know, that song they play before every game at Rupp where they bounce around.
Yeah.
Whatever Vandy had on, they were bouncing around like 10 times higher and louder like than they would at home. So there was great energy last night. You could sense it from before the game started. And, you know, one thing that was so huge last night is I know the game was close for a little bit in the first half, but they started hot offensively. And they got early momentum, and they took it into halftime, and they took it to them in the second half early there. So it was great energy. And man, if they keep that up, they're going to be hard to beat.
Yeah, they managed to really extend that lead there at the end of the first half with a little run to close. Cal actually drew up a good play coming out of a timeout right before halftime, which was something new to see. And then they go on a 9-0 run, and I believe like the first few minutes of the second half, Kaysen Wallace hits two threes. Mm-hmm. So they were really moving. Again, Vandy not having Robbins. They also didn't have a backup forward. So they just had two bigs, one of whom was a freshman who really hadn't played much. He ended up leading the team in points.
And he was hitting flat-footed threes.
He was shooting flat-footed.
Oh, yeah.
So it was, and another thing to note too, you know, obviously Lexington, Nashville, just a few hours, it was probably, I don't know, 75% to 25 UK fans of Andy.
You could tell that.
It was insane, yeah.
So,
you
I mean.
Hear that behind Jack and Tom.
Yeah, it might have been 80-20. It was pretty bad.
But I love Memorial Gymnasium, by the way.
It's so weird.
It's so
unique.
Weird in a good way.
It's got a charm to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, does.
I mean, Cal was as far up the coach's box as possible. He was. It seemed like he was going to get a three-second call.
Stackhouse had a chair set up in the coach's box. I've never seen
that.
They
changed the rule. It used to be you couldn't leave the end zone.
Right, that's what
I, they changed the rule, which made, I don't know why it took them so long. I think partly because when they design, and believe it or not, kids, it didn't happen when I was there, but I've seen video. That used to be the layout, the end zone stuff, in Memorial Coliseum, believe it or not.
How about that?
And it was not that unusual, and then people realized this is stupid. But at Vandy, they didn't have a whole lot of choice.
No.
You know, unless they wanted to get underneath and then, you know, walk up. Nobody
right.
wanted
no
to
one
that,
wants to
so.
Do that.
But I read someplace, I'd have to look it up again, why it's designed that way. I think they called upon a famous designer who ordinarily drew up opera houses. You know, and for whatever reason, they decided to come up with that. But I agree, Hunter. I really like seeing games there. And I saw Rick Pitino once get kicked out of a game there. So, you know. But I also saw Nazee Muhammad throwing a shot at the buzzer. Have you seen that video?
Yep.
And then Tubby, one of Tubby's greatest coaching moves, get these guys to run off the floor.
Let's go, let's
get
go.
To the locker room.
Yep.
Good night, everybody. So, but, you know, the other thing, too, that I flash on when I watch this Kentucky team is a game down in – Nashville at Vandy, and I think it was Mark Story or maybe John Clay wrote about it here locally about Tubby's team in 03 that turned things around and went on a 26-game winning streak, which is true. And it did not start at Vandy, but the way they played started at Vandy. And by that I mean they came out of the locker room and totally undressed the other team defensively and just killed everybody after that. And I'm not saying this Kentucky team will do that, but there was a definite turning point, And it looks like this team has reached one, hasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, this was the first time that they really didn't play with their food with the team. I mean, they got out in front in the first half. Vandy fought for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then that
shot.
Yeah. That shot. That 9-0 run in the second half was really what did it for, you know. And UK didn't let Vandy get back in the game. That's when they have been able to build leads, which hasn't been very often in SEC play, teams have been able to either go on a run or UK's offense has gone on like one of those 3 to 5 minute scoring droughts, which has just absolutely killed momentum for them all season. So Vandy's defense started to wilt towards the end of the game, the backdoor
ran out
cuts,
of gas.
That sort of thing. Yeah. You know, it was a classic UK Vandy matchup. You know, I think this Vandy team is maybe a little better than some of Stackhouse's past couple. You know, they're lacking that Scottie Pippen, you know, automatic score.
Star, yeah.
So,
Darius Garland.
It's a good win.
For five games.
Yeah. I mean, they've won four in a row. You've got a really big one this weekend. So now is the time to where I'm not ready to say they've quote unquote turned the corner yet.
I like to say they've turned a corner.
They've definitely turned a corner.
Maybe not the corner.
Yeah. You never know until you're at the end of that journey and you can turn around and look.
Right.
You know, because sometimes you think you've turned a corner, all you've done is bang off the wall, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know. And, I mean, Kansas has never lost four games in a row under Bill Self, which is such a crazy thing to believe. So, you know, this is a big game for both teams Saturday.
But you know what? I read someplace, isn't this like the fourth time a Kansas team under Bill Self has lost three straight?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something like that. They just never lose the four.
No, but my point is, similar streaks like that, at this place of business in Lexington, I don't care who the coach is. You're talking about torches and pick handles,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
you know, for whatever that, take that for what it's worth.
Right.
But they're going to come in ticked off, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And everyone brings their best at Rupp. Yeah. I mean, we've seen it. We saw Georgia play well in the first half. We obviously saw South Carolina play their best game of the season. So they're going to come. They're going to want, for the guys who are coming back, I don't know how many returners they have off the top of my head, they're going to want to avenge what happened last year. You know, Bill Self's going to want to avenge what happened last year on his home floor. So, yeah, they're going to come in ticked off. But, you know, Kentucky's got a lot of positive momentum right now. And, you know, after this Kansas game, I'm just looking at the schedule here, it sets up pretty nicely for Kentucky. I mean, they obviously have Tennessee again, but that one will be at home. They'll have Auburn come in here. They'll play two with Arkansas, but who knows what Arkansas really is. They haven't been nearly as advertised. And you already got, obviously, you know, those hard non-conference games out of the way outside of Kansas. So it sets up really nicely that if you win this one, you get another quad one under your belt. And as long as you take care of business, I mean, you're in a pretty good spot. But, again, I mean – you see the brackets, and it doesn't mean that much. It's only, you know, late January, whatever. But they got to add some quad one wins. They only have one, and it's Tennessee, so it's a really good one on the road. But they only have one, and they got to stack them. They really do. To, you know, you want to improve that seed. You don't want to be a 10 seed if you don't have to.
Yeah.
You gotta. I think it'd be good to. I don't know what their ceiling really is at this point. I don't think they're really going to climb above maybe a 5 at the best, but they got to improve their stock still, and this is a huge game to do that.
That's the thing, is that as good as this winning streak has been for them and as, you know, improved as they have looked, the resume is still super weak.
Yes.
As good as that Tennessee win is going to look throughout the rest of the season,
that'll be their best win no matter what.
That probably. South Carolina loss is going to continue to look worse because, I mean, they are getting rolled by every other team.
And now Kentucky fans have to root for Tennessee every time the Vols play.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, they, like you said, Aaron, they've got to try and stack a couple Q1 wins. That's the only way they're going to get out of this 7-10 seed purgatory.
I mean, we never got to see how it played with the seed the COVID year, but that loss to Evansville, I'm still fascinated to know what the seed would have been. Because they did run the table that year. I mean, they won they beat Texas Tech.
I really think that would have been buried simply because of the way they played.
Yeah, probably. But would it have cost? I think they were in probably a 2 or 3. Yeah. Would it have pushed them down?
You're just intrigued because you were working at Evansville at the time.
No, I was here. That was my
last
season.
Were you still here for that?
Yeah, that was my last season.
Okay.
Yeah,
that was such a wide open field.
I just missed the one. Yeah, missed the COVID year, which is fine.
And like every coach in America, Calipari got to say, we would have won.
Yeah.
We would have won the tournament. But I do believe that team had Final Four written all over
it. It was anybody's tournament that year. It was wide open.
But when you look at what it takes. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
One in the backcourt, one in the front.
Yeah.
The way Quickly and Richards played.
Three future NBA players.
Yeah. No, I think that team would have made a run.
Yeah. But nobody was going to match up with Maxey and Quickly.
No. And no one, Richards was out of his mind that year.
Who could handle Nick Richards?
Yeah.
And as long as you know I've been here forever, I have never seen a Kentucky team that had a guy who was being touted, and rightfully so, as a potential player of the year. And then midway through the season, the school has to do maybe not a 180, but welcome in another player that they could tout. You know, it was like, okay, it's Quick or Nick. Yep. You know, that was just bizarre.
That was such a fun team.
It really was
and
fun.
It was such a cool – Nick Richards was such a cool story because he flat out struggled his first 2 years here.
Yeah.
I mean, it was shocking.
And I love when he confronted it with us.
Yes.
Remember?
Yeah, yeah. And he completely just – he changed everything, both on the court and off the court. And he was such a joy to be around that year.
Yeah.
And
but when he said it, you know, why, it's no big deal to not go pro after 1 year.
Like, right. And look at what he's doing in the NBA now.
Yeah, he's a solid role player.
Thank you.
So, yeah, no, that was I'd love to know what the seed, though, would have been that year. It probably would have been a 2 or 3 still, but I am fascinated to know how the quad four loss is viewed. But, yeah, this year, obviously, they don't have the strong resume yet, but they've got opportunities and plenty of chances. I think it's like 6 quad one games left, given the ones that are on the road.
So. And you don't want – because, really, you can't depend on the SEC tournament. Of course, unless you win it.
Unless you win it.
Yeah. But all that other stuff, as I keep trying to remind people, they start screaming and yelling about what happens on Saturday. By the time they meet on Friday, it's done.
That's why Cal doesn't care about
it. It's done.
You saw it with
A&M. That's why Cal doesn't care about it. You could tell. I mean, not saying he doesn't care at all, but remember after they
won. But he's yelling the loudest. Remember when they won the tournament? Why didn't that count for you? Because you played on Sunday, dumbass.
Yeah,
you know?
And I just remember last year when they lost to Tennessee, and you know, the fans were losing it. Oh, I'm just going to go home and kiss my dogs. Like, he didn't.
Classic.
It was whatever to him at that point.
Well, you look, in the league needs to move, if it really wants to make it count, move that game to Saturday.
Yeah, 100%.
But that's not going to matter as much. It's still going to matter.
Right. Yeah, you know? Texas A&M, who knows how their you know, their status changed last year. They went
but
on
the bottom line is you got to have everything nailed down as best you can before you get
to Nashville,
to the SEC 100%. Tournament.
Right, yeah. If you're relying on stacking a few wins in, you know, Nashville or wherever to actually get in, you know, there's the problem there.
Yeah. So. You know, if you're on the bubble, that might help.
Yeah.
And committee members might be, well, let's see how they do.
Yeah.
We may take Kentucky or this team. Let's see how they do this weekend. But that's a tenuous spot, obviously.
Right, yeah.
You can't be in that position.
I think A&M did enough to actually get into the field last year.
I did too.
But, I mean, you know, like we said, they needed to get to the SEC championship to have a shot at getting into the NCAA tournament. So that tells you what you need to know.
I remember feeling like they're as good as teams that are in there, but I don't remember exactly what their situation was. But I also remember thinking, well, you just can't have a losing skid like they had. I remember
they had like a five straight skid. They came
like
in 9-9 to the conference tournament.
Yeah, that was it. You know, so it was, but they were playing so well.
I mean, Kentucky's schedule does set up really. I mean, outside of Arkansas, all the road, like Mississippi State, Florida, they're winnable road. Ole Miss is the worst team in the conference outside of South Carolina, so they're winnable road games. And then you got Tennessee at home, you got Florida at home. This Kansas game's at home. I mean, if you take care of business, I think you're in pretty good shape.
Well, and getting back to last night's win, I know some people may shrug it off. Well, it was Vandy, never missed, you know. Okay, fine. But I felt like Kentucky, and this might go back to what you guys were talking about, pregame demeanor. I felt like Kentucky played like a team that took care of business the way a good team would in that situation. Even on the road, right?
Exactly. And they were losing.
Like you said, they didn't play with their food. They didn't just
came out and dominated, and they started fast, which they, even when they've been winning, they haven't been doing.
Yeah.
I mean, they fell behind 8-0 in Knoxville. They were down 8 to Georgia at half. They were down 6 to A&M and then 2 at half. So they started hot offensively. The defense was, you know, Vanderbilt got their points early, but, you know, it settled in. And, you know, that play at the end of the half that Hunter mentioned, that Cal called the timeout and drew up to Jacob, that took like – any life out of Vanderbilt that was there, it sucked it out. You could tell they were deflated after they gave up that bucket. And Cal was, like, cheering and celebrating.
Skedaddled
and
the locker room.
Ran off the court. I mean, and, so that was a big play. And, if they do that against the teams that are supposed to beat, you got to feel really good. I mean, they definitely played with their food the last two games before that.
I guarantee you that play that they worked on probably in practice. I said, I guarantee you we can get this if we execute it.
They've probably been trying it for a while.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, this team has taken so many punches in the mouth at this point that, you know, maybe it is finally to the point where they're, you know, starting to become battle tested.
I think so.
And, you know, they're working around the issues when, you know, they don't score for a few minutes. They're able to, you know, stay stout on defense or just find that guy like Antonio Reeves is becoming.
Oh, man.
I mean, he is the bucket getter for this team.
Confidence.
He's the guy who he can go to.
That's
and,
the biggest thing.
And he's not. I think he was put into that three-point sharpshooter box when he first transferred over. I mean, his floater
look at
game.
His stats.
And rightfully so. But he's coming now into the SEC. He's found a clear groove. Cal said that he and Jacob are both on a different level now, which I think is fair to say.
Yes.
So
I asked him about the runners after the game. And he referred, he goes, well, my runner game's always been good. You know, I thought, okay, he's got a runner game. And he's right.
He's
you know,
right.
But they work on that. First drill they do in practice every day, as you all know. So we'll take a break, come back and talk more Kentucky basketball. We'll talk a little football after the bottom of the hour because the three of us had a chance to talk to some of the newest Wildcats. That's next on the statewide edition of the Big Blue Insider.
Hey, DQ fans, do you really like cheeseburgers? Do you love a delicious deal? Well, boy, does DQ have just the thing for you. Say hello to the DQ Cheeseburger Lovers Deal. Get two of our legendary DQ single burgers for $5 or two glorious third-pound double cheeseburgers for just $7. The DQ Cheeseburger Lovers Deal will help you keep yourself and your wallet nice and full. Get yours today, only at participating DQ locations. DQ. Happy taste. Good.
The Big Blue Dream is alive and well, and you can count on the Cats to deliver the best performance possible. You can also count on Welch Printing Company, an avid supporter of UK Athletics, to deliver on all of your printing and communication needs. Like a well-oiled team, Welch has the personnel and commitment to consistently deliver your projects on time and on budget. Welch Printing produces award-winning litho and digital printing for your marketing and communication needs. Visit our website, welchprinting.com, or call us to learn more about how we can deliver more for you.
Hey, Big Blue Nation, Liquor Barn has everything you need for this week's Wildcat basketball action. And you know what? We make it easy to stock up for game watch parties. All you have to do is head to your nearest Liquor Barn store or just go to liquorbarn.com to download the Liquor Barn app and place an order for pickup or delivery. Shop Kentucky's favorite spirits, wine, and beer store, and you know what? You're going to have yourself more time to cheer on the Cats. Liquor Barn, where Kentuckians go to celebrate life. Go Cats!
Winter brings all kinds of weather, but a new Toyota is ready for anything. Like the aggressively sophisticated Toyota Highlander, one of 15 different all-wheel drive Toyotas. Now through January 31st, during Toyota's all-weather drive season, get 3.99 APR financing on a new 22 or 23 Highlander. With approved credit through TFS, excludes hybrids, and every new Toyota comes with 2 years no-cost maintenance included. Get complete details at buyatoyota.com. Toyota. Let's go places.
Hey, Blue Blue Nation, Cash Danner here, and I want to tell you about my friends over at UK Federal Credit Union. I've been a longtime member of UKFCU ever since the first day I stepped on campus, and I think you should become a member as well. UKFCU offers all the products and services of traditional banks, such as checking accounts, auto loans, along with online and mobile banking options. But unlike those other places, UKFCU is a local Kentucky-owned credit union right here in your backyard. They bleed blue just like you and me. UK Federal Credit Union. It's banking, only better.
Federally insured by NCUA. Membership eligibility required. For full details, call 800-234-8528.
There are lots of ways to make Skyline part of your game plan. You can pregame with friends in five ways at your favorite Skyline, or carry out conies to crush during the game. And Skyline is the only place for post-game Cholitos and chili cheese fries. Football, basketball, baseball, or soccer, high school, college, or pro, doesn't matter. Game time is always a good time for Skyline. So get your game face on and get your Skyline game plan together. Feeling good. It's Skyline time.
Border to border, it is the Big Blue Insider. Dick Gabriel, Hunter Shelton of SI.com, and Aaron Gershon of the Cats Paws. They covered the Vandy game. You saw it. You heard it. And the Wildcats apparently are on a roll going into the Kansas game. And once again, I saw people on social media upset that he didn't start Reeves, that he started Livingston, you know. Did that surprise you guys? What
surprised.
Do you make of that?
Not surprised. I think you should. I mean, it's clear.
Should what?
Start Reeves. I mean, that lineup is working the best. They outscore opponents. I think it was by 12 going into last night's game, something like that. And every other lineup is a negative all year. So that's their best five. You usually start your best five, but no, it didn't surprise me. And I mean, Chris does give you something. It's not like he's a nothing out there. It's just you usually start and finish with your best five. But you know what? If you're winning games right now, so I guess don't fix what isn't broke.
Yeah, I mean, on paper, Antonio should be in the starting lineup. But, you know, he does also give you that sixth-man spark plug off the bench value.
That's true.
But if he is going to be the guy who you want, you know, scoring the ball, obviously he's going to be in at the end of games, but why not throw him in there with the starting five now? I mean, they're still trying to find that role for Chris. It sounds like maybe it could be back at the four trying that again. It seems like that's just a merry-go-round that's going nowhere.
But, you know, whatever happened to positionless basketball? Didn't we hear that?
Yeah.
I know that's a recruiting pitch.
It's a recruiting.
Essentially.
That's what it is. In but, the NBA, yeah. There's more of that in the NBA, I think.
Well, of course, but by recruiting, I just mean he's talking to people out there. You don't want to go to Kentucky where they're going to make you play XYZ. Yeah. And that's Calipari breaking back with, we don't think of positions that way here in Kentucky.
But that's exactly what's happened with Chris.
I do wonder, like, obviously Chris is a good player. He's better than what Bryce Hopkins was last year. But I wonder if they're trying to prevent a Bryce Hopkins where they're saying, we're trying to find a role for you.
Could just be a confidence-building thing.
Yes. So please don't leave next year and become Bryce Hopkins.
Yeah. You're still recruiting
him. Big East player of the year.
That's what I was getting at is Bryce is hooping at Providence.
Big East
I mean, he's almost averaging a double-double. Yeah. And same thing with, I mean, Keon's having a good year at Washington as well. So, I mean,
Chris, that one's a little different.
Chris does seem like he could be in that spot to where this incoming class, like, you know, how do you fit? Because this incoming five seems to be, you know, they're already heralded as, you know, a potential great Cal team. So, you know, I think there's a lot of potential for Chris. I think, you know, obviously McDonald's All-American, the whole shebang, you know, your usual Cal freshman coming in, he hasn't totally been that. There's been, you know, some inconsistency, some growing pains. Cal talked a lot about when Chris first got here that Chris was focused on impressing Cal, making sure that Cal saw the good stuff that he was doing in practice, whatever. I think over time he's, you know, started to mature a little bit more on the court. It seems like he's already fairly mature off the court. So
yes,
I think he's just got to – you just got to find your niche. I mean –
he also, I'm told by – and Calipari's talked about this – Livingston gets down on himself, at least when he first came here.
Right.
Really hard on himself. And they kind of have to, for a guy who was a five-star, as you said.
Yeah, McDonald's.
McDonald's, they've got to lift him up and say, no, you're good enough.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder if that's involved here.
And I think it might just be the role thing. I mean, like, you know, CJ and Antonio obviously especially has finally, you know, carved out that spot for himself in the rotation to where he's got to be in there. You can't say that about Chris yet.
Right.
You know, he does have that edge to him. He's got that tenacity. Cal called him tough as nails after the Georgia game, I believe. So it's obviously clear that he feels like Chris can bring something to this team. It's probably just going to be 10 to 12 minutes worth of whatever that is a game.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And a lot of rebounding, a lot of defense.
He's tough.
But he seems a little bit unsure of himself on offense.
Yeah, though he'll have streaks where
he will.
Against
the A&M, he can get to the rim. That's what I love.
Yes, to the rim.
And not an awful shooter.
Got a good handle.
He can hit some threes if he's open. I mean, he hit a couple of big ones against A&M there. So, yeah, it's just I just think they're trying to not force him in, but they're trying to press the issue and get him in there. So they say, hey, look, you were a starter here. Like,
they're trying to build him.
Yes, they're trying to build him, and they want him to be a part of this going forward. Even, like you said, the five that are coming in, it's intimidating in this age of college basketball.
Well, and I do like, Hunter, to your point, bringing that energy guy off the bench, because Reeves now is playing better defense. When he first started, he was a liability.
That's why they
couldn't
play him much.
No, exactly. But, again, as I've said 100 times, he probably didn't play much at Illinois State because they couldn't afford to have him in foul trouble.
Right.
You know,
it kind of feels like Antonio and CJ's roles have kind of flipped a little bit, where CJ's playing well, but his defense last night especially was
– he got beat a couple times.
A lot of times.
But he's a good defender. But
he's a leader. That kid leads. You can hear him calling out. It's not like he doesn't know what's happening. It's just his athletic ability is not necessarily the same as some of the guys they play, and that's okay. But it just kind of feels like – what I mean their roles flipped is like Antonio's that – shooter you can rely on, and he plays some quality defense, where CJ is a shooter you can rely on, but his defense is a little lacking. So Antonio is kind of the guy you trust a little bit more, I think. But no, CJ's invaluable, his leadership, and the way he talked after the game too, about he kind of cut everyone off and to talk about Sevier and praise him. And he's definitely, I think if they had a captain per se, it's CJ Frederick.
Probably. And, you know, I do agree, bringing Sevier off the bench now, a jolt of energy. And he was right. They were kind of dragging up and down the floor until he got in there,
I think,
for better or worse.
Yeah. I think they finally found his role, which is to be that energy guy off the bench. 20 minutes, I think that's a good number, or whatever it was last night. Let him, you know, bring some speed and bring some juice off the bench. But I think it's Casein Wallace's show. And I know, I think last night, and Cal even said it after the game, Sevier came in, he brought the energy, Casein got to see it, and then he replicated it.
Yeah, that was the big thing. And we have to touch on Sevier post-game. I mean, just one of the more mature answers, you know, I've seen.
Hold that thought. We'll talk about it after the break because it deserves more than just the last 15 seconds of this segment. Then we'll get to football after that. We're talking about Kentucky basketball, and as I said, we'll talk football on the other side of the break because the three of us got a chance to talk to some of the new Wildcats earlier today. It's a statewide edition of the Big Blue Insider.
Family RV has been Kentucky's number one RV dealer. We stock over 300 new and used RVs. Come see America's top brands like Tiffin, Jayco, Keystone, Forest River, Grand Design, and Winnebago. Don't miss out on our model year closeout sale going on now. Come in now and save thousands. Located at the corner of North Broadway and New Circle Road in Lexington, call us at 859-299-8386 or visit online at northsidervs.com. Go Cats!
I had no idea buying a big screen meant everybody comes to my house for game night. And what do they bring? Chips. If it weren't for Boone's Butcher Shop, I'd be broke trying to feed them all. All right, let's see. Should I go for the pick five or get a meat bundle? Maybe one of Boone's freezer baskets. So many options. I'm going for the cookout special bundle. Now over to the deli for some cheese, grab some marinade. I love Boone's Butcher Shop. They've got it all.
Boone's Butcher Shop, top quality meats for less. 100 Old Bloomfield Pike, Bardstown. Online at boonesbutchershop.com.
A lot has changed in our 35 years at the Boot Store, but what hasn't changed is our commitment to having a huge selection of quality name brand boots, Western wear, and accessories. And as always, we strive to give you the best fit possible at a fair, competitive price. Whether you need boots for a day on the job or a night on the town, do your feet a favor and come and see us at the Boot Store. We're just a few minutes south of Fayette Mall on Nicholasville Road.
Get your boots at the Boot Store.
Got bugs in your house? Call IPM. We specialize in keeping your home safe. IPM Pest and Termite has a 5.0 on Google reviews, an Angie's List Super Service Award for the past 7 years, and a member of the BBB. This is Matt Schaefer with IPM Pest and Termite. Mention this ad and receive a discount on your pest maintenance service. You can always find out more by going to myipm.com. Call us at 271-8852.
We all know the importance of nutrition and diet for a healthy lifestyle. We also know that dairy foods deliver great nutrition and value. That's reason enough why Kentucky families choose Prairie-owned Prairie Farms dairy products, like our two complete lines of delightful, creamy Prairie Farms yogurt flavors, fat-free or low-fat. Both fit neatly under 100 calories per serving. Farm-fresh quality from our family to yours. Farmer-owned Prairie Farms.
Shamrock Bar and Grill on Pageant Drive has always been your home for good food, great times, cold beer, and the biggest games on TV. But did you know you can bring that world-famous Shamrock atmosphere to your home? Shamrock's is now delivering food, growlers, and six-packs to your door. Find our full menu at shamrocksky.com or call our Pageant Drive location at 269-7621. Call them up tonight for delivery. You can also have Shamrock's food delivered by Uber Eats.
Welcome back. It's a statewide edition of the Big Blue Insider. Dick Gabriel, Hunter Shelton, Aaron Gershon. We're going to talk Kentucky football in a minute. And we'll jump in some NFL stuff like we usually do. Generally, it's on Mondays, though, and Monday Night Football's gone for now. But we do want to finish up with basketball because we went so deeply into everybody else. And you all mentioned Sevier Wheeler, and you had a chance to listen to him and talk to him after the game last night. But who was it? Somebody posted the answer he gave.
Yeah. I've got the full quote here, and this was basically asking
him. How did
it
come up?
It was just asking him about how he has coped with accepting his newfound role, which, you know, is not being the starting point guard for Kentucky anymore. I mean, you're talking about a Bob Cousy Award finalist. He's led the SEC in assists the past two seasons. And, you know, he gets injured against Tennessee. He comes back and plays a combined 17 minutes against Georgia and A&M.
One minute in the second half.
Yeah, against Georgia. So
he also leads the league in assist to turnover.
Again.
Right.
For the
so,
third straight year.
You know, and you're wondering, like, how does a guy like this not fit into a rotation? And as anyone who has been listening or reading or anything about Kentucky basketball this year, you have seen an opinion on Xavier Wheeler, good or bad. You've seen them both. So essentially, just after the Vandy win, he played 22 minutes, 4 points, 5 assists, I believe. And he was just asked how he has sort of learned to accept his role. And he said, basically, those guys who have been playing the past couple of games are the guys who have been winning games. That's the group that went and popped Tennessee. At the end of the day, or at Kentucky, I'm playing with some really good players. Sometimes that's okay. You got to learn to live with that and learn to grow from it and be mature about it. Because those guys deserve to play as much as anybody else. Those guys are fighting in practice, working their tails off, paying attention to details. They deserve that. Today, it was just my turn to kind of give us some energy. I did that, but you got to give all the credit to these guys because they were the ones who were there when I wasn't.
What was your reaction, you guys, when you heard that?
My jaw almost dropped because it sounds like a whole new person. He's just not been – there are times where when he's down, he's just not the guy you want to be around, to put it nicely. He's just not – doesn't really want to talk, doesn't give – he kind of throws stuff right back at you, and it just seemed like a maturing moment where he kind of put his pride aside and his ego down and said, you know what? It makes sense for the team. We're winning. Let's roll. And you could tell that. And after that, I don't know if you have the quote from CJ.
I do. So, and that was what Aaron mentioned.
Yeah, CJ, after Xavier talked, someone was about to ask another question, and CJ said, hold on, I want to make
a comment. Oh, really?
Yeah, CJ jutted in and said, you know, Xavier was great tonight. He comes in every single day with a leadership mentality, and he's been ready to go, and he was ready tonight. He's going to continue to do that. You know, he's our guy. We have tremendous faith in Xavier. That's just the kind of guy he is. Every day he brings it. Great in practice. Today he was the reason that we got up so big. He was that ignite that we needed today. So, I mean, you know, obviously this team has the back of him.
Yeah.
Cal mentioned post-game that, you know, he was ready to cry. He went up and kissed him after. This, you know, I think it was that breakthrough moment. And obviously we don't know how Xavier has actually handled all of this because I can't imagine it's easy. Well, being on a stage like this, yeah. And you know, you are the scapegoat when things aren't going bad.
Absolutely.
And things have gone so bad for Kentucky at points this year. And even sometimes more so than Cal, he's been the guy that everyone has just flung the blame at.
Yeah, definitely the highest player.
And there's been so much talk about the mental health aspect of being an athlete here at Kentucky this season. And you know, Xavier hasn't spoken on that as much as guys like Jacob have, but you know, obviously, this is something that has had to have been weighing on him. So, you know, for him to be able to accept this role, and who knows if this will remain his role. You know, something could happen. An injury could happen.
Sure.
You know, he could get jutted back into the starting lineup and have to play 30-plus minutes again. You know, we'll see what happens. But this was, you know, the word a turning point, you know, a couple of times. But this feels like the point where, you know, okay, he has accepted that he doesn't have to be the starter. He can come in and just be the spark plug, so to speak.
It's kind of how lesser because he wasn't as polarizing, but it's kind of how Davion Mintz like really embraced being the sixth man by the time his time was up here.
Yeah.
Because during the COVID year, I know they weren't very good, but he was starting. He played the majority.
I think
he led the team in minutes that year. And he became the sixth man. And he talked about how much he loved it. He started to study Lou Williams and all that. And it reminded me a little bit of that, but just the fact that he not as polarizing where, like you said, Hunter, he's kind of been the scapegoat of some criticism. There have definitely been games where not attacking personally has been, but, you know, criticizing his game has been warranted. So it was really impressive to see how he seems to have accepted his role. And I think, you know, the fact CJ said all that is probably because they have a lot of respect for him putting his pride aside and saying, all right, I'm all in on my new role and, you know, let's go win. So
well, the key obviously is winning.
Yeah, winning.
And that's
all.
A great point about Davion, because when Davion embraced that role and was playing it so well,
that was when they were at their best.
And you know, you brought up Kansas in the first half hour. That was a year ago this Sunday. Do you realize that?
Yes.
A year ago this Sunday, when we were all talking Final Four, this was one team that, you know, we were going to be shocked if they didn't get there.
Yeah.
Hey, we got shocked, didn't we? You know, but a lot happened, starting with injuries.
Yes.
You know, so if this team stays healthy and keeps winning and everybody mentally is where they need to be. And one last point about Xavier, and we'll get to football, but I've only been to one practice. I haven't asked to go, and I think they'd let me. But I had no reason to go, but I did the TV on the blue-white game. So they allowed Cameron Mills and me to come, and I watched the entire practice. And the thing that jumped out at Cameron more than anything was when Calipari pulled the team together toward the end, one of the young guys left the huddle, I guess to go get a towel or a drink of water or something, and Xavier went after him and brought him back. So, no, We don't do that here. Stay here, you know, until you're dismissed, and that kind of stuff. And boy, Cameron sat up straight, and afterwards, could not quit talking about that.
Yeah.
You know, part of me thinks too that he wondered what might have happened if somebody had done that with Rick Pitino there. You know, because Pitino would have destroyed the kid. but anyhow, you know, like Hunter, you're talking about leadership. And yeah, that's guys gravitate to him, don't they?
He's the guy who leads. I've noticed too. He's the guy that leads them out of the locker room every
sure
game
does.
Too. And usually that is a role assigned. That's not a role that every sport, like baseball, is always Derek Jeter took the Yankees out of the dugout. The quarterback is often, if he's not a captain who comes out early, one of the guys who leads the team out of the tunnel. So I think it says a lot.
All right, let's shift over to football because, as we said, we got a chance to talk to some of the mid-year arrivals, and Devin Leary is one of them. He wasn't the only impressive talker today, though, Hunter, was he?
No.
I mean, these guys filled recorders, notebooks, cameras. There's all kinds of good stuff out there.
Stories wrote themselves today, for sure. Ray Davis being numero uno on that.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Fantastic.
Ray,
listen.
Don't call me Ray Ray.
Yeah. he was really fun to listen to. I mean, he's bringing a lot of perspective. One of the first things that was asked to him was about going from Philadelphia to San Francisco down to Vandy in Nashville. Coming back up to Lexington, he mentioned Nashville was a culture shock to him, although he did go see Luke Combs in concert, which was new.
But he covered almost every time zone in America.
Yeah, he has. And he said he was planning on going to somewhere at Keeneland at some point during his time in Lexington. So,
but all he knows about horse racing is the Will Levis commercials.
Yes. But another thing that really stood out to me with Ray was, you know, obviously Kentucky football, long lineage, or becoming a long lineage of, you know, powerhouse running backs. You go from Benny, you go to Chris. And now you've got Ray, who, you know, you've got him for 1 year, and obviously he is that style of runner, but he said, you know, hold on, I'm not going to be Benny Snell, I'm not going to be Chris Rodriguez, I'm going to be Ray Davis. I'm going to run my style of football, I'm going to be the running back that I know I am. He said Lexington was going to remember his name.
Yep.
You know, braggadocious, sure, but, I mean, he's a very, very confident guy.
Not if you back it up.
Right, and that's the thing. And, you know, obviously that leads into offensive line talk. So we'll see if he's going to be able to back it up because of him actually being a good runner or if the offensive line will allow him to do so as well. But really impressed by Ray.
One thing we know about him, he can break tackles because we saw him do it against Kentucky, right?
And he said, too, he was letting teammates know if anyone tried to give him any crap for coming from Vandy. Well, who won the game this year? I believe 129 yards is what he had.
He knew his stats.
Yeah.
Oh, he knew.
And, you know, they always pretend like they don't. He knew how many carries he had at Vandy.
Yeah, yeah.
He knew exact number on the season.
They always know.
I mean, he's got a Vandy degree, as you brought up to him. So
yeah, and you can tell he's a smart
in communications.
Yeah, he's a pretty good communicator.
He could sit down right now with us and do this job.
Absolutely,
he was awesome. Yeah.
So you know, and he's not the only guy in the room either. They've got good running backs.
Yeah, he's going to definitely have to compete with McLean, who's been here for a while, and I think he's probably better served as a third down back. But we'll see what Lavelle Wright comes into this year. But
Ramon's coming back
could be huge.
I want to see that guy play.
I do too. I really wanted to last year, and we didn't. You know,
did he have just a one carry?
Two carries for 10 yards.
I know he's in for one series,
and it really felt like he was going to be the guy to.
I thought he was going to start until Chris got back.
I did too, but I'm also really intrigued by Lavelle Wright. Nothing against McLean, but there are times Lavelle Wright, like, wow.
Yeah.
Where'd this come
from?
That
was more, Then the other one is Jamarian Wilcox, the new signee, is a guy that they already called the lightning bolt and said he's going to be an instant impact maker. So it's going to be a competitive room, but, I mean, it definitely, with Ray's SEC experience, it's hard to imagine that he won't be the guy who kind of takes the load, the biggest load in that room, but it'll be competitive. But a guy like that's only going to make your team better at the end of the day, as long as he does what he did last year.
I want to see which one of these guys can catch the ball consistently well.
And that's what's interesting about Ray is his numbers. I think last year, 29 catches.
Yeah.
And he had three touchdowns to the air. He had, I think he had 17 one year. So,
because remember last year when Will Levis was asked, what are you going to work on this year? First thing out of his mouth, checkdowns. What was the first play of the Blue-White game?
A checkdown.
To C-Rod.
Yes.
How much of that did we see this year?
Only against Ole Miss.
Yeah. At a crucial time. Oh,
right. For
man.
40 yards. So,
and by the way, no spring game.
Yeah, I hate that.
Thanks, turf.
I'd love to figure out when they're putting that in and all that to know, but it stinks. But
I wonder why they can't have it at, like, you know.
The day after.
Well, yeah, or just move it somewhere.
Maybe,
you know,
it's so beat up.
Like,
it's
how
not
UK
even safe.
Had their for basketball, they had it in Pikeville. You know, obviously nothing's going to be like Kroger Field, but
it's like seeing the Catholics get a nice art. Well, hey. All the high schools have a nice artificial
EKU,
turf.
I don't know.
Why not? No, I'm, yeah. What, the high schools around here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bummer, but looks like fans are going to get an open practice, which is good for them, and then looks like us media folks are going to get two. So that'll be good to get a look at them. It's a huge spring ball, because I think last year one of the more underrated storylines was Rich, you know, obviously it didn't work out, but he didn't – remember, he came in late because the whole Liam Cohen thing, they were the Super Bowl champions.
That's
so
right.
It took a while for that to happen. Yeah. So they started spring ball a whole week late because they had to make that coordinator change. And remember, you know, they were so behind on practices, they had three more practices after the actual spring game.
Yeah.
So they were all out of sorts last spring, and I think that hurt the offense. I remember the one practice we got to watch, the offense got just – destroyed.
It was bad.
It was horrible.
It was bad.
And you could tell they were behind the eight ball from day one. You saw it again at the open practice on fan day. The offense was awful and the defense was really good, and that was kind of the story of the year.
And part of that, too, was, well, that this time of year the defense is always better.
No.
They were struggling.
They were just struggling. And I think, one, you have continuity because Liam knows a lot of the guys and he recruited a handful of them. And two, it's just so important to get off to a good start because you have a new quarterback. You have probably a new starting running back. You have a couple new offensive linemen, so they have to build chemistry early. And I thought it was really cool to see, you know, we saw just about every player in the building, not that we talked to everyone, but you could see everyone was in there working out, and, you know, some of the guys were coming and having fun. Berrion Dane were out there. Who was out there, too? Someone was asking questions to Ray Davis.
I'm not sure who that was.
What?
Yeah, I can't pronounce his name. 33. He's a Delaware kid.
He's a linebacker,
So
I thought, too, Devin Leary, interesting, which, you know, you expect that from a QB. But he said when he was being wooed by Kentucky, it wasn't the fact that Liam Cohen was coming back necessarily.
Not right.
It was Scott Woodward was getting it done, although he and Cohen are buds.
Yeah, I think he had mentioned of Woodward previously recruiting him when Woodward was at UMass. So, you know, it seemed like from day one, I mean, and as Leary told you, Aaron, when you asked him about it, he had his pick of the litter of where he wanted to go in the portal. I mean, he said literally every team was,
in America,
you know, giving him a call.
Every team in every conference.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, who knows?
He was a little embarrassed by it.
Yeah.
I know,
who knows who it really came down to? But obviously, whether it be Woody or, you know, the allure of playing in the SEC or coming to play for Cohen, seeing what Levis did in his 2 years here. I mean, obviously, this was appealing. This isn't just him coming for the 1 year and then trying to get to the NFL, although that definitely plays a part in it. I mean, UK seemed like a good fit for him. He said it checked all of the boxes, so obviously he feels comfortable here.
Yeah, and it makes sense. The more and more you think about it, the guys he's going to have around him at the playmaker standpoint, what Liam Cohen did with Will and what he did just for the offense as a whole, and, you know, it's SEC ball. Everyone wants to be in the SEC, especially nowadays when the conference is about to get even better and some other conferences are getting worse.
First guy up today was a defensive back.
Yes.
And he was impressive.
Very, very. He was funny. He's, you know, talking about how he grew up in Columbus, Georgia, and he got picked on for picking Cincinnati, you know, being from there. And he talked about how Kelvin Joseph was a guy he watched a lot of and kind of helped him, inspire him to come to Kentucky, and how the relationship with, you know, he was recruited by Kentucky to high school, and how that relationship with Vince Marrow and company were always there. So that was really cool to hear. Hopefully we'll get a hold of the other DB. I know he had a conflict today, Jansen Dunn at some point. But, yeah, he was I was very impressed with Hardaway. That's those are two huge gets because you're losing your two cover corners.
And an interesting story, too, that he was from Columbus, Georgia.
Yeah.
But chose Cincinnati.
Right.
Which was one of the up and still is one of the up and coming, you know, now schools.
Now they're Big 12, so that'll
help.
Yeah,
exactly. But you know, they were really blossoming as a football program. But now here he is at Kentucky. He's in the SEC, growing up in SEC country.
Right. And another thing, too, which I found interesting was with both of the offensive linemen, Tanner Bowles coming over from Alabama, and he's a Kentucky native from Glasgow. And then
4 years at Bama.
Yeah, that's insane.
Played against some pretty good.
It's a lot of time in T-Town.
Popped in the mouth by Dylan Moses.
Yeah, that was.
First play.
In spring ball.
That guy was pretty good.
But with both of those guys, Cox coming from Northern Illinois, a guy who's bringing over a lot of experience as well. You know, they talked about having guys like Kenneth Horsey and Eli Cox coming back, just how important that was for them to just kind of get immersed in the culture of I guess, so to speak, repairing the Big Blue Wall, because it suffered quite a few knocks over the course of the 2022 year. So Cox, Marquez Cox seems like a plug and play and a left tackle, being able to move Horsey back to guard. You know, we'll see what happens with Bowles. Obviously, he didn't get a lot of run at Bama. So, but again, the pieces to the puzzle are there. And in most situations, at least with Leary and with Ray Davis, and you've got the wide receiver pieces on offense, you know, I have zero doubts in Brad White being able to conjure up a solid defense while he's at Kentucky. So that offensive line is the big question mark as to how everything is going to, you know, unfold. But the pieces are there for the puzzle to be put together. It's just how are they going to come across, you know, through
spring
ball.
And I felt like they were getting better by the end of last year.
It seemed like it.
They gave up 7 points in the bowl game. I mean, I know that, Iowa wasn't a great offense, but, you know, they had a great game against Louisville. They had one of the best games against Georgia anyone had. I mean, they were they finished 13th in total defense, 12th in scoring. Yeah. That doesn't happen on accident.
Yeah. Well, I meant specifically the O-line, I felt.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, they were. Yeah.
I mean, you were correct about everything you said.
Especially, I thought the one guy that stood out to me was Eli Cox really got comfortable at center. And one of the funniest lines of the whole day was Marcus Cox said that was his new cousin, Eli Cox. That was a funny
Coxes.
One. They said they call
exactly
each other cousins. So.
Hey, well, that's a good call. All right, we'll talk more Kentucky football when we come back. We'll take a look at the NFL. Some of the mock drafts have gotten really interesting. We're back in just a minute on the Statewide BBI.
First Watch, the daytime cafe, is serving up good mornings to Wildcat Country. Here at First Watch, we begin each morning at the crack of dawn, slicing fresh fruits and vegetables, baking muffins, and whipping up our French toast batter from scratch. We use only the finest ingredients for the freshest taste around. Whether you want breakfast for lunch or lunch for breakfast, at First Watch, everything is made to order and freshness is never compromised. First Watch is proud to be the official breakfast of UK Athletics. Go Cats!
Just like your fingerprint, your heartbeat is unique to you. And that's how your heart care should be too. So at Baptist Health, we focus on your specific cardiac needs, from preventive care to some of the most advanced procedures. For your one-of-a-kind heart, choose the one hospital system more people trust for their heart care. Baptist Health. It's care centered on you. Visit baptisthealth.com/heartcare.
A lot of banks claim to be the best, but we let our awards speak for us. Fork Bank has been named a Best Places to Work award winner for 8 consecutive years. We attract and hire some of the best bankers in the region to provide you with a one-of-a-kind experience. And we were recently named a Best in State Bank by Forbes and the number one ranked bank in Kentucky based on an independent survey. So if you want to bank with the best, bank with Fork Bank for a happier banking experience. Fork Bank, member FDIC.
Tempur-Pedic, Sealy, Purple, and Ashley mattresses. Not sale priced, clearance priced. P-Rats is cleaning out, clearing out, and closing out to make way for new merchandise. Now get up to 30% in extra savings on floor sample and closeout mattresses from the top brands. Get a free power base upgrade on all Sealy mattress sets, $5.99 and up. Queen mattresses start at only $1.99. Plus up to 6 years special financing.
Nobody beats P-Rats.
Winter brings all kinds of weather, but a new Toyota is ready for anything, like an exciting new Camry, America's best-selling car. You can even get one with all-wheel drive. Now through January 31st, during Toyota's all-weather drive season, get 3.99 APR financing on a new 22 or 23 Camry. With approved credit through TFS, excludes TRD and hybrids, and every new Toyota comes with 2 years no-cost maintenance. Get complete details at buyatoyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Hi, I'm Capri, and the little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A Grill Spicy Deluxe is the chicken. They actually put it on the grill, cooked it in the sauce. It's definitely a good grilled spicy sandwich.
Hey, I'm Michelle, and a little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A Grill Spicy Deluxe is it's spicy and it's full of flavor. When you pair that with the kale crunch salad, it's just good.
Order a grilled spicy deluxe sandwich on the Chick-fil-A app today. Available for a limited time. Real guests paid for their testimonials.
Final segment of our statewide edition, and we talked a lot of Kentucky football and basketball. We'll talk Kentucky football here, but we need to talk about the NFL draft because it generally on the Monday nights we talk NFL. Billy's Buccaneers are gone, and Aaron's Giants had some fun in the playoffs. My Packers, Hunter's a Texans fan, and I was just telling Hunter that one of the gazillion mock drafts has the Texans trading with the Bears in like this year's first round, obviously.
Yeah.
Next year's first round, and maybe this year's fourth round as well, for the right to pick number one. And whoever this guy was, has the Texans taking Will Levis, which, you know, do you draft a quarterback with a top pick and then say, but we're starting David Mills? No, you're going to throw Levis out there. He's going to get destroyed.
Yep.
But you'll sell tickets.
He has a good left tackle, at least.
This is one of those things where, first of all, I never thought I would talk about my Texans fandom so much being on here. I try and keep that in hiding because of how bad they've been lately, guys.
No, we're going to expose you.
So,
I don't know any other Texans fan. Do you?
You're the only one, Hunter.
That's okay. No, that's good.
Okay. I'm not. That's good. Yeah, well, hey,
and I like the fact that there's no logical, obvious reason for you to be a Texans fan.
No,
that's what
not.
Sports are all about.
Yeah, absolutely. I have seen every single Texans playoff game. There haven't been many, but there's been a few wins over the Bengals. TJ Yates beat the Bengals in the playoffs.
TJ Yates.
Who do you want to be the head coach is the question. I know they've just interviewed my offensive coordinator, Mike Kafka, and I don't want him to steal him.
Look, say what you will about Sean Payton. The man knows how to win.
I know, there was that report today from Ian Rappaport. No one asked him for a second interview.
Yeah, it doesn't
anyone.
Seem like it. I like D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah,
seems like an interesting option. I just want someone who's going to be there for longer than one season. That would be nice. But on Levis, I don't feel like they need to give up whatever that draft suggested for them to go to one to get him.
No.
If someone trades with the Bears for the one pick and they give the Bears whatever to draft Will and you have to settle for Stroud or Bryce Young, so be it. That's my view on it. I think, obviously, Will has the intangibles. Say whatever you will. He's got the arm. He's got the face for being an NFL franchise QB.
He's got the best NFL body.
Yeah. If you were choosing out of the three guys, Levis, Stroud, and Young, and you said which one of these guys looks like they're going to be the NFL QB, it's
called
no question.
Central casting. It says send me a quarterback.
Yeah, no question. But, you know, I was very impressed by Bryce Young dealing with what turned out to be a very down Alabama team.
I agree.
You know, you say down Alabama team, they were still really good.
Relatively
but,
speaking.
You know,
they didn't have a great offensive line.
Yeah, that was the thing is that Young had to do a lot of that Johnny Manziel-esque scrambling,
too.
And he
that's right.
So, you know, and I'm a little iffy on Stroud. Admittedly, didn't watch Ohio State as much as I did, you know, Bama and covering UK. So
could be a system guy, could be a program guy.
He did do a great job against Georgia's defense, though.
He did.
That's
hard
true.
To do. Very
so,
hard
played
to
his
do.
Butt off.
It's not an amazing draft. It's one of those things where you might look back
better
and you know,
last year.
15 years and say like, "Whoa, I'm glad you know like what a pick of the litter you had there between those three guys. They could all be successful. They could all be duds."
One thing we learned about the Bengals: that number one pick can make all
everything.
The difference in
That's
the world.
That's true.
Thanks for joining us, fellas. We'll see you next week. Thanks to Evan for sitting in for Billy tonight. Thanks to you for listening to us on the statewide edition of the Big Blue Insider. That's it. Good night from Lexington.
Listening to Big Blue Insider, presented by the Cat's Paws. Big Blue Insider was brought to you by Kentucky Utilities, UK Healthcare, Prairie Farms, Barney Miller's, Mingy Beef Jerky, Boone's Butcher Shop, Northside RV, and by John's Run Walk Shop.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.